A&M and Texas hate each other. That's not new. That's not new thinking. I understand that. But they're gonna play in basketball. Do they understand that doesn't count? It's about football, right?
They're playing everything, just not football. They play basketball. They've played each other in basketball for the last few years, actually. And a lot of times it hasn't – like, they'll do – I think twice they've done scrimmages for charity that they played in Houston. And, you know, they play each other. They just don't play each other in football, which is the only thing that counts.
Correct. Nothing else matters. That's why nobody even acknowledged. I thought that it was a new announcement they were playing this year in basketball. That's how little I knew about that. That's how irrelevant that is, Catch.
I think it's like a mistress that you're ashamed to admit that you've allowed to be. I used to have a friend of mine that had this beautiful wife, and every time he would cheat on her, and he was a serial cheater, he'd always do it with, like, the ugliest women. And I think that that's the way everybody views the other sports. They're just, they don't count, and they'd rather, all things being equal, never let you know that you've been with them.
I was... talking about
this for a morning metaphor.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. Anyways, I was thinking the two rivalries, and again, football, that stand out are Auburn, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. Those are the big ones. Everybody else has got their rivalry, but they don't compare to that. Now, Texas and Texas A&M. I was saying this. That's not the rivalry that Michigan, Ohio State is, or Alabama, Auburn. But if we had a hate meter, we could invent a meter that measured hate. I think A&M's and Texas' hatred for one another might be greater than Alabama, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan.
I disagree. I disagree because at the end of the day, the places that you're talking about, they would never step foot. Like, nobody in Tuscaloosa is racing to go over to – you know, the part of the state that Auburn encompasses, and they're, like, not trying to live there, right? And the same thing with Michigan, Ohio State. Like, it happens. People will move from Michigan to Ohio, and they'll live there. But for the most part, you know, the hatred is such that they just don't even – I know there's some mixing of families and things like that, but they're two very distinctive things. There are hundreds of thousands of A&M fans living in Austin. How much can you hate – the University of Texas, if the city that it exists in is the place you most desire in life to live?
I haven't thought about the geographical part of it.
Hundreds of thousands of Aggies choose voluntarily. They move here in Austin. And Austin's also known as a place that if you're an A&M student and you're a little bit bored, you make the 70-minute drive to Austin and you have a kick-ass weekend. Nobody from Austin's going to College Station. But Austin in Texas is the destination for everybody, including Aggies. And I just think your hatred meter has to be softened somewhat when you have a soft spot for the city that your hated school, your hated rival lives in.
So Texas, University of Texas frat boys don't get together on a Friday and say, let's go to College Station and party it up.
Bingo. But the other way around, absolutely. And nobody could blame Aggies for that. Like, you know, Austin's known as the live music capital of the world. It is a great place to come down and have a party and to have a weekend in. And because of it, like I said, once Aggies graduate, they don't stay in College Station. Good God, no. Nobody wants to live there any longer than they have to be there. Austin is the destination, and it really does play into the type of rivalry that Texas and Texas A&M have. Texas, you know, and I say this as a guy that I went to Texas. I've lived in Austin since I was 10. I mean, deep down, Texas is, from the city to the school, to the academics, to the success on the field, Texas is the thing that A&M aspires to be, and as it relates to a lot of things, probably never could be.
Okay, let me go this way. Ohio State, Michigan, I think hate each other equally. Alabama and Auburn.
No doubt.
It flows both ways. I think the Aggies hate Texas more than Texas hates the Aggies. Would that be accurate?
Texas fans hate Oklahoma.
Okay.
That's the team that's the program they hate. Texas A&M, and traditionally – You know, this goes by age groups for Texas fans. You know, the majority of Texas fans in general hate Oklahoma more than Texas A&M. There is a group of men specifically who were in college during the mid to late 80s through the first part of the 90s, where A&M was kicking Texas's ass. They beat them like 9 out of 10 years at one point. It is the period of football with Jackie Sherrill that got Texas A&M on probation, and Texas fans would tell you it doesn't count because they were cheating. But, you know, you and I live in a world where you know what they call cheating in college football, right? What is today, Wednesday? They call it Wednesday. But, you know, like, so I'm 43. I think there's a group of men between the ages of 40 and 50, let's say, I think that group of men hate A&M as much or more than Oklahoma, because they were in school at a time when A&M just dominated Texas. But I think that if you are under the age of 40 or over the age of, let's say, 50, I think all you've ever known is Texas has owned Texas A&M, and consequently, you've spent most of your focus on the other major rival, which is the one that more times than not has defined your season.
Does Oklahoma hate Texas equally?
Yes. There's a great amount of hate between both sides there. Absolutely. And Oklahoma fans don't quite flock to Austin in the same way, because, you know, it's a little bit further. So Dallas is the place that that people from Oklahoma go to. That's Norman South, if you will. And so it's a little bit different. Like I said, it's just weird. I've lived here for 30 years, and I know as many Aggies that live in Austin as I do Longhorns.
I didn't realize there were that many Aggies there.
Wow. Oh my God! Every year they do, you know, the barnstorming tour, and like the biggest turnout that A&M will have in any of the cities and towns that they visit from, like, the barnstorming off season. Let's get everybody fired up about the program. It's the Fish Fry in Austin, like thousands every year, thousands. It's crazy.
So Zach Evans is going to be a Crimson Tider, correct?
Yes.
Is that the feeling in Texas?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, that they were able to get a commitment from his teammate, I think, goes a long way. Damian George and Zach Evans have both talked about wanting to play with each other. Texas isn't even in the equation for Zach Evans anymore, which is kind of mind-boggling when you think about the emphasis that they placed on him. That kid's visited Texas unofficially at least 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 times in the last 3 years, and Texas isn't in his top five. I think it speaks greatly to the lead that Alabama currently has, that the most threatening school for Alabama's presence isn't in the top five. That, as someone who's covered recruiting for so long, if something like that happens, I think it really speaks to the stronghold that the leader has in that recruitment. They've eliminated the most threatening piece of competition. Now it's Georgia. Now, it's Oklahoma or Ohio State, schools that haven't even been in on him very much for the last 6 months. The omission of Texas from his top five, to me, slam dunk Alabama.
So, in my estimation, there have been two recent generational – well, Eric Dickerson, that's not yesterday, but Eric Dickerson and then Adrian Peterson. I'm talking about Texas running backs, and there's been a million really good running backs, but I'm talking about generational running backs, not just All-Americans, generational. Is Zach Evans that kind of player?
He's Adrian Peterson all these years. I don't know that I would say he's Adrian Peterson.
Right.
And I never saw Eric Dickerson in high school. He predates me slightly.
Right.
I think Zach Evans is right there next. So,
wow.
I've called Zach Evans a six-star player, which I think would give an indication of how highly I think of him. Adrian Peterson was probably a seven-star player.
Right.
And I've argued with my rivals, compadres, about this, that not all five stars are the same.
Right.
So I'm a fan of having the six stars that you can properly identify the aliens from just the regular great prospects. And I think he's in that category. But I don't know. You know, I thought Jamal Charles was incredible when he was in high school, and I thought he was a five-star guy. Cedric Benson's arguably the greatest high school running back of all time in the state of Texas. He was a five-star running back, and he obviously went on to have a great college and lackluster pro career, but, I mean, it was there. Adrian Peterson stands out from all of those guys over the last quarter century, and Zach Evans is at least in that discussion. That's how I would frame it. He's not Adrian Peterson, but in the next tier of running backs that we would talk about, and some of those are names that I've mentioned, he's in that breath.
Wow.
And almost all of them panned out and were great college and mostly NFL players. There have been very few guys like that from Texas that just busted and never made it.
Running backs in general usually are what you see. You usually get what you see out of a running back. Usually. There are exceptions, but all right. Hey, Catch. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, my man. Always great talking to you. You guys have a great rest of the week. And by the way, please don't run Atlanta Braves commercials during the middle of segments I'm about to come on. Like, they beat my Phillies 75-2 or something like that the other day, and I just didn't need that flashback at all just a few days later.
Crazy Charlie did that on purpose.
If you can run that up the flagpole, that would be great. It thoroughly depressed me.
See you, Catch.
Take care, Bill.